This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bachelor with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Rare earths. Right now, rare earths are a challenge to the United States and its allies because the People's Republic of China claims to have a monopoly. We're joined by General Blaine Holt, United States Air Force retired, to help us understand what's ahead of us with China having threatened to cut off rare earths in some willy-nilly fashion, what you need vitally for the high-end economy that is that describes our world. Blaine, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. I've learned enough to know that rare earths are particular, but not rare. Particular in that certain of them are much desired. For example, gallium is much desired for data centers to replace silicon in the chips. Erbium and scandium are much desired for aluminum alloys that will go into new aircraft. There are many more to cite. I'm learning slowly. However, we're in a fix because the Chinese do have a dominant hold on the market. They've recently lifted the boot from our throat for a year. However, what lies ahead? Are we ready to match the Chinese tactics of dominating rare earths? Good evening to you, General.
Good evening to you. I think that the Chinese moving on rare earths as some sort of monopoly that they hold, and that it's trying to show President Trump that they really do hold all the trade cards with respect to the United States. It's a colossal mistake, but it's evocative of some of the weakness that we see coming out of Beijing right now. President Trump went immediately to work before the summits in Asia and secured deals with Australia, Malaysia, Indonesia, our other partners. And then what we come to find out is we are on a track to replace China entirely in rare earths. The rare earths are not so rare, but the processing is. Because with predatory business practices, many of the processors here in the United States and elsewhere were run just right out of business because they were undercut due to slave labor conditions that are terrible in China and Mongolia. And so what we're left with is a United States that's found its way around the problem. There'll probably be some hiccups and burps in the supply chain system, and that is true. But I don't see China holding strong cards right now. Even Central Asia is getting into the game here. To try to work around China. Bad behavior usually means people will innovate their way around your problem.
Gordon, you have a question.
Wayne, the Trump administration on November 1 issued a fact sheet about the agreements that President Trump and Xi arrived at on October 30 in South Korea. And part of it is the fact sheet says that China has agreed to lift its restrictions starting in April on rare earths, which would mean all of its restrictions. There's a lot of reporting that China has agreed only to lift the most recent of its restrictions, not the April ones. And in addition to that, there is now Wall Street Journal reporting that China does not plan to sell any rare earths to U.S. companies involved in the defense business, which would be a violation of all sorts of versions of that agreement. What do you make of this?
Well, it's just as you and I predicted, Gordon, which is the second that the hands were shook, the lights were turned off, and they all walked away from that conference, China did exactly what they've done to President Trump before. They turned their backs, they walked away, and they felt that they bought themselves some time. That was what China wanted to do. That was their only goal with President Trump, was to buy time. And the reason that is because Xi Jinping, largely coming out of the fourth plenum, is now an ornamental leader. They're vying for control of China right now in the Chinese Communist Party with factions led by Wen Jiabao, Hu Jintao, Hu Chunhua, General Zhang Yuxia, the general of the army. They're all vying for power and they need time. And so what we think is that they'll sort this out by April, which is probably why they set that as a date. But the Chinese Communist Party has a new problem. It's called the Chinese people. I'm getting more and more very, very credible reports that across the nation, all provinces, the people are rising. They are getting more upset. They're getting more emboldened. And so it's going to be some interesting days ahead in China.
I want to go back to rare earths. I'm told we have up to a 2-year gap to catch up, that the capacity will exist in our trading partners especially I'm keen on Australia making remarks about how it's going to go into action. Is 2 years enough time? What do you make of that estimate?
I think the 2 years is a very conservative estimate, and I think it's an estimate based on only foreign sourcing of rare earths, the processing, and the supply chain. If we get ourselves into a pinch, I can tell you it won't even take a Manhattan Project style event to get processing here. We have the technology here. We may not like the costs initially, but we have the technology here to do the processing, the rare earths, all of them right here in at home and in our own hemisphere. I do understand why we would want to do this overseas in Asia to shore up alliances, to galvanize a unified effort to make sure that China can't be the wolf warrior in trade that it is today.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Blaine, if that two-year gap, does that mean the United States is just going to try to string China along? Or what happens in that period of vulnerability? Because the Chinese obviously probably have the same estimate and probably are going to do something to us in that period so that we don't end up with a full capability. What are your thoughts?
You could see some supply chains get strained in certain areas, but not fatally. And then the other part is, and we're already seeing it right now. So go to gallium. Gallium is so important for chips and advanced designs and this type of stuff. But right up there in Canada right now, you've got companies called Light Matters and Xanadu, and they're perfecting photonic chips that will have different needs and requirements, ones that can be sourced locally and will be computing at light speed, meaning that the technologies in these things that have these requirements are moving at blinding speed. And as you know, when you invent something, if your supply chain's a problem, invent something else. And that's where we're at.
We have right now a challenge by the People's Republic of China. And you have already identified the solution. You've also indicated that China is in turmoil. Do you have an expectation of a You said April. What is the most conservative?
April will be here rapidly. I think what you're likely to see is if we have a liquidity crisis worldwide, and we have every reason to expect there will be one, and potentially a massive correction in the markets, if that happens, I fully expect the Chinese Communist Party to have existential issues on its hands. Will it happen shortest time frame, maybe 6 months, longest 18? One would never want to time the market, especially if you're a retired brigadier general. But I will tell you that the storm is here for the CCP.
General Blaine Holt, U.S. Air Force retired Gordon Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.